Welcome back to the Broken Middle Podcast, the place where people trying to make a difference in the world of faith, art, or politics make a good faith effort to understand each other. Today's guest is the Reverend Bailey Bronner, a United Methodist pastor and founder of The Voyage, an online meeting place for LGBT Christians who are trying to find out what it means for them to reconcile their faith in Christ with their sexuality. She has a tremendous amount of experience using the internet for ministry. She has a podcast. She has a large following on TikTok. If you Google her name, likely you'll see her content come up with lots of public engagement. Reverend Bronner and I talk about this new medium for doing ministry. During the pandemic, all of us have been finding ourselves online far more often than ever before. So we get into the grist of what these new online horizons may mean for the way we do ministry, and what the differences are between ministry online and ministry in person. Hope you enjoy. Well, Reverend Bailey Bronner, welcome to the Broken Middle Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start out by asking you about your story in ministry a little bit, and in particular, how you found yourself using social media for ministry, and how you kind of got to where you are now, where you've got a huge following, you've got a podcast, you're on TikTok, you're on all the major platforms, and how that came to be a part of your practice of ministry.
Yeah, so my background, I grew up in the United Methodist Church in Anchorage, Alaska, and so I was used to kind of having an isolated, I suppose, way of life. Being an Alaskan, we need a plane to get anywhere, and we are pretty in our little bubbles. And so I think that has informed a lot of what I do, because I've always been searching for connection in some way. And being a millennial, social media has tended to be that source of connection for me. And so as I've kind of traveled around, I grew up in Alaska, and then I went over to Montana for undergrad, went to Seattle for some time, Boston for seminary, back to Alaska, and now I'm in San Diego. And so that transient lifestyle really yields a certain set of skills if you want to find connection. And so the internet was that source of connection for me. And I think the biggest way that I found connection was through coming out. So I'm openly queer, and I identify as queer and on the asexual spectrum as well. But when I realized that about myself, I needed to figure out what that meant. The United Methodist Church at the time was going through the beginning stages of the ugly divorce that we are still going through right now, believing that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. And so having that and going to be ordained as a pastor was a little bit of it was messy, and it required me to do some research and some of my own internal work in that too. And so I found the internet and social media to be a source of goodness and life in the midst of that messiness and frankly, the brokenness that I was experiencing at the institutional level. And so my identity as a queer person of faith and social media were huge connection points for me, and the reason that I still believe in the church, because even when the church has systems that are inherently broken, the wider, the big C church is still thriving and doing good work and believing in supporting all of God's children. And I think that that's a really, that's something that really draws me in and continues to make me excited about ministry.
I can resonate with that. The journey out here to CalPAC for me was a lonely one. I felt like an outsider to begin with, and being able to follow the friends that I was making on social media and getting a sense of what their lives looked like helped me I think get to know people and find a sense of belonging faster than I might otherwise would have. You're pretty adept at the use of social media. I mean, I've listened to some of your podcasting. You're on TikTok, which is I think that's the biggest platform that youth are using now. So for people who are kind of Facebook or Instagram bound only, like what role does social media play in your day to day, week to week pastoral ministry?
It's growing, like day by day it's growing. And I think the pandemic has been positive for my ministry in the sense that it's allowed my local congregation that I'm appointed to understand that the internet is a source for ministry. And it allows me to kind of spend my time doing different things than I would be expected to do were we in person, and was I expected to come to the office every single day from 9 to 5 or whatever it happens to be. So I picked up TikTok over the pandemic. I was really like not interested in it at all. I was like, I'm too old for this. I'm not going to do it. And then I got bored enough during quarantine that I picked it up, and I made a video, and I don't even remember exactly what specifically it was, but it was a video that got a lot of traction. It was probably something like sarcastic, or not sarcastic, but it was probably something like humorous, I guess, about God not being a man, or like about, you know, LGBTQ people being valid in the eyes of God or whatever, something like that. But it got a lot of traction, positive and negative. But it was a reminder to me that people need to hear about God and God's love. And when we are in our own isolated little bubbles in the local church, we are not seeing, other people are not seeing the work that we do. And so even if we are affirming and loving and kind to all of the people who walk in the door, the majority of people aren't walking in the door. And so what are the other ways that we can illustrate God's love to all of God's people? And social media is a way to do that, right? And so the past couple months, I've spent my time kind of like growing this community of people. There's 30,000+ people who are following on TikTok right now, who are interested in, again, those like very simple messages of like Jesus, the justice seeker, and God's expansive love and inclusivity in the Christian faith. And it's not, I say that it's not difficult work, but it is technically speaking, right? Like it takes a lot of effort to make those videos and to edit and do all that stuff. But like the message is not that hard to understand, right? God loves everybody. We need to, you know, repent of homophobia, transphobia, ableism, all of those things. And it's a lot easier, I think, to convey that message in places like social media where people aren't laden with the heavy tradition and the you can't do this because it's institutionally not okay, or like the book of discipline says this. Like it's just a free space to be able to express this message of truth and hope and love to people who haven't heard it before.
So you have this this platform that you're using, and you're using it to share the gospel message. Is there interaction that you have that comes back from the people that pick this up, and what's that like? How are you interacting with some of these folks?
Totally, it surprises me more and more every day how impactful these simple messages are. I get messages from people who are like, oh, I've never seen a woman who has been able to speak in church before, not even woman pastor, but like a woman who's not able to speak in church before. I've never heard that queer people could be Christians. Like the things that I've learned throughout my time growing up in the local church and being in a pretty progressive space my whole life that just sort of were truth for me are things that haven't registered for other people. And so those simple interactions are ones that I think are incredibly powerful, right? Or people who will ask me like, is it okay to be LGBTQ and go to my friend's church if I, you know, like simple things, and they're heartbreaking, like realities that's not common knowledge, but it's also such an honor and a privilege to be able to be the first person who answers that question for them and say, yes, like God is not overly involved in trying to make you straight. Like that is not God's job, and God's job is to love you. And that's what God has always done. And so like your sexuality is a gift. Your gender is like something that can do anything that you want it to do. You know, like it's a privilege, I think, is the best language that I can put to that.
So this is so important. I think that oftentimes in the United Methodist Church, we kind of wait for people to tire of
their traditions, and then to come, or maybe to be wounded by their traditions, and then they kind of come find us down the road a little bit. But what you're doing is you're trying to get out, and you're trying to be the first encounter. You're trying to be the first message that people hear, and you're using social media to do that. And so has that translated into anybody coming and finding your church, like coming and taking part in the community?
Yeah. So our church has grown during quarantine. Mission Hills, you know, the church has grown. And part of that is due to my like personal social media following. And, you know, people say, I love your message. I love, you know, what you do. Can I come to your church? Or like, and so, yeah, of course, like you can absolutely come to my church. And I explain, this is going to, it's going to look different than me talking at a camera or me being on a live stream with you, like on an evening or whatever. But the message is not changing, whether you're inside a building or outside of it. It just is, you know, received by different people, and in different ways. So yeah, we have, there's a core group of people who come regularly from TikTok, and they always, I tell them, you need to tell people that you're from TikTok too, if you're there, because I want people to know in the comment section that when they see someone's here from TikTok, that that's a positive thing, and that we're not, the social media community and the in-person community are not different communities. They're coming together in like really beautiful ways. And, I don't take credit for that at all. Like, I don't think that it's my work that is getting them there, but I think that God is speaking in multiple platforms, and we have, you know, the privilege of having a church community that is celebrating that, you know, or is learning to celebrate that at least.
So what's been the reaction? So, because you're also a full-time a pastor, with a congregation that, has been there. How old is Mission Hills UMC?
It's over 100 years.
Wow.
It's old. Yeah.
And so how, what's been the congregation's response to this, what I imagine for some of them is a very sort of foreign idea and experience. What's that been like?
I think they're still trying to understand exactly what it means. And I'm still trying to understand how to illustrate that too, because I think that, you know, I can simply say, oh, it's a social media platform, but hearing that as someone who's not familiar with social media, they hear it as like, oh, it's something that you do for fun, and it's not necessarily a ministry opportunity. So I'm kind of waiting and figuring out language for that would make sense. But we did start a ministry called The Voyage, and that started out as just my own kind of passion project with a couple friends of mine, Angel and Nicole Morris, who are in San Diego as well. And then I introduced it slowly to my congregation because we were meeting in the church. And I said, you know, this is important, and here's why it's important. And here's a story of, we had somebody who came to our first meetup, and they said, it's an LGBTQ meetup group. The Voyage is an LGBTQ meetup group that was in San Diego, but now it's expanded online. And the very first meeting we had, a girl come in, and she said, and I introduced myself, hi, I'm Bailey, I'm the pastor of this church, but I'm also like here to lead you. I'm also a queer person, blah, blah, blah. And this girl said, so are we going to get in trouble for being here? And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, are we going to get in trouble? Are you going to get in trouble? Are you going to get, like, if someone finds out that we are here, are you going to get in trouble? And I was like, no, like, what do you mean? But that was such a huge moment for me to say, like, the church has a stigma, and we can be as welcoming and as inclusive as we want in the services. But again, if we're not getting that message out there, then what is the point of us embodying a spirit of inclusion internally? And so the message of inclusion and hope and joy and God's grace and love for all people, like, needs to be shared on a wider level. And so I'm hoping that our TikTok people who come in and our other people who are now a part of our church can be bearers of that good news to the folks that are in the local church congregation.
This pandemic, that we'll continue to do ministry online in addition to ministry in person. But I wanted to ask you, because you're literate with this, and you've got a lot of experience with it. Where do you see the role of digital media kind of going as more and more clergy of younger generations hear God's call in their lives and step into that clergy mantle? What is the new parish going to look like, at least from your perspective?
I don't have a framework for it, because it's not something that we have invested in, right, in the past. And so this is a really new beginning for everybody, right? We're having, I'm thinking of we have a Facebook group for progressive clergy on TikTok. And we talk about this all the time. Like, what does Safe Sanctuary look like in digital ministry? Like, should we be, you know, like CCing our office manager in emails that we're having with people, you know, like it's such an interesting line to toe and to try and translate our current church practices into this digital sphere is really hard, especially because the church tends to be 10 plus years behind what the, you know, quote unquote secular world is in terms of progress. So I don't know that I have a framework for it, but I think that something needs to happen because all theology is public theology, right? But if we're living that out, then like social media is very, very public theology. And so to have this avenue for public theology to happen, we don't need to get people together on a corner of the street anymore. We can, you know, have our personal platforms or our public platforms or whatever as that source of sharing God's light in the world it's a huge opportunity. And I think it's a missed opportunity for denominations, churches, whatever, to not really step into that and say, we need to be innovative about this, and it's going to, you know, it's going to change a lot of things about the church structure, but it's so worth it because we're not like, if our job is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, we can't rely on people showing up into a building on Sunday mornings anymore. I think of, there's this Queer Eye episode. It's the first episode of season two where, Bobby is one of the five gay men, and he can't walk into the physical church building. There's no service going on. There's nothing happening. But he can't even walk into the physical building because of religious trauma that has been enacted on him by people who aren't even associated with the church that he was stepping towards. And I think that's so telling. And I think that's like that should be a prerequisite episode for anybody who's involved in church work, because your building might not be traumatic, but it's a source of trauma for so many people. And it's a barrier for so many people. And so to step outside of it and say like, hey, we can still preach the same message we've been preaching this whole time. I'm not trying to change your message, but I'm trying to change who hears it, because not enough people are hearing this good news.
I completely second that reference to the canon of Queer Eye. I know exactly the episode you're talking about, and I found that incredibly moving. I think that was the very first episode that involved church on Queer Eye, I think. And I mean, just to speak to the point you made just now, one of the things that I think we forget is that Queer Eye talks about church a lot, actually. I'm really surprised. People want to have, well, not necessarily want to have, but church is impactful on so many people's lives in so many different ways. And I think part of our problem that you're trying to address is that we just don't know what that impact is. And so we don't know what to speak to. We don't know what to repent of until we start building community in this way. And so, especially in a pandemic right now, we have this ripe opportunity to encounter people that we never otherwise would have, and to learn from them and to respond to them and to challenge ourselves to reframe our presentation of the gospel message and our extension of the love of Christ in a way that it can find a hearing today. I mean, I'm reminded of the way that Isaiah creates a hearing, you know, hear, O heavens, and O earth. He literally addresses the ends that he wants his message to reach. And I could imagine, you know, like, hear all of you who have been wounded by the church, you know, stepping forward. I mean, I think there are some really cool opportunities that like, just like you're talking about. Okay. This is a question that I wrestle with myself. And so I don't have an answer for it. But we our faith is an embodied faith. I believe in the bodily resurrection. I think that that our bodies are the seat of salvation, if you will. And it is true that online media, the internet, has kind of a Gnostic bent to it. It is information that gets digitized and processed and shared. And while that information can be good, something about being in person, being in person in the body, I think is an indispensable part of the ministry that we do. So is the ultimate goal in using social media to get more people in church, or is there another goal? I know you said you don't quite have a framework for it yet because this is still very new, but what's your thinking been like on that count?
I kind of think about the idea of mission when you talk about that, and how so often we think that our job, well, I think the toxic kind of missionary type theology, missional theology rather, is that we need to bring Jesus to them, right? And it's very separate. It's us versus them. And we the Christians need to bring the message of God to this place that doesn't have it, because how could they possibly have it because they're so different than us, that kind of thing. And I think that when we are doing the same thing by assuming that our goal as Christians is to bring people into the physical building for church. And I think instead we could embrace this like relational attitude that if we use this binary thinking of us versus them, us being the people in the church and them being the people outside of the church, we can't afford to say that the people who aren't coming to our church are doing it because they're lazy or because they're too busy on Sunday mornings. We can't afford to have that thinking anymore. Maybe instead we need to like embrace more the reality, the truth that what we are selling is not what somebody wants to buy. And instead of saying, well, that's their problem, like, sorry, they don't get to encounter Jesus, we need to say, okay, well, where are they experiencing God? Where are they experiencing spirit or hope or creator, the thing that's bigger than themselves? Because I would put money on it, if I was a betting person, if that was aligned with my theological ideas, like I would bet that they are experiencing those same concepts that we are experiencing inside the church, and probably more, because they have more of a, you know, they have more of a breadth for that, right? So why are we penalizing people for experiencing God with their family over brunch on Sunday mornings, or walking their dogs, or, you know, in relationships with their local, like soup kitchens or whatever they happen to do that like is good and is helping them to experience something that's bigger than themselves? Like, I think that we as a local church, little C church, congregational church, are really doing a disservice by not utilizing the tools that people outside of the church building have been using to share a message of hope for longer, you know, longer than we've even had a concept for that.
This conversation now, I think, is in many ways, it reminds me so much of the conversation when preachers in the late 19th century, early 20th century began to use the radio to reach people. And it created this really big concern that people would no longer come to church because they could just stay home and listen to the radio. And lo and behold, that didn't happen. That really all the use of the radio did was it expanded who could sit and listen to the gospel on, you know, when it was being preached. And now with the internet, you know, people can choose whenever time they want to listen to stuff, like with a podcast or with as many of us are doing, recording worship and then letting people watch it whenever they want to. So I think one of the things that is different about social media now than the radio was, or television, maybe not necessarily television, but I think it's hard to make the case that social media has not, if not created, exacerbated certain problems in our society. You know, there's that great documentary, I'm just stumped for a documentary, but I think it just represents it so well. Social Dilemma, that's now on Netflix, that personifies this this profile of each user of social media, right? And shows how algorithms calculate the best way to keep us attached to our devices and constantly scrolling, looking at advertisements and eventually spending money. And it is true that's the business model for Facebook, Instagram, even TikTok. In other words, there's a tremendous amount of artificial intelligence, a tremendous amount of human intelligence, and a tremendous amount of money being pumped into these platforms in order to maximize a bottom line. There's a kind of deeply capitalist business model that characterizes these platforms. And there's even conversation now about regulating social media like a utility, because it plays such a central role in our society now, but it's largely unregulated. I have, in my own practice of ministry, in my own life, I've struggled with how to use social media the more I learn about these other dark sides of it. This is the Broken Middle podcast. So I'm trying to get into some of the harder questions here. Like, I mean, youth suicidality is up, self-harm is up. There's concern that we're inculcating an entire generation to engage the world through apps created by profit-seeking firms. So formulating that into a question, the question that I ask myself is, the net harm worse than the good that we can accomplish? Is the net harm of the platform in total worse than anything good we could accomplish by using the platform? I think that's my question. I don't think there's a great, I mean, it's hard to answer, but if you were to take a crack at that, Bailey, who has so much experience on social media, I'd be really interested. I mean, how do you, when you feel that that negativity, that tension, that difficulty, yeah, how do you engage that? What do you think?
I think about, being a pastor, I can't help but not associate everything with conversations about the church, right? And I think that there are churches that are there that are bearing good fruit, and there are churches that are bearing bad fruit, right? And so, like, if I see a church that's bearing bad fruit, my response is to bear more good fruit in the church that I'm a part of, you know? And so I think there's going to be toxic systems, no matter what branch we're talking about, whether we're talking about church, whether we're talking about social media, whatever. And so I don't think that I have the institutional power to say, like, this is what I would do to make sure that, like, fake news doesn't happen. But on my sort of, like, on the ground level type of community that I've developed and platform that I've grown, my job just tends to be to continue speaking truth and continue to, like, just, like, keep my head down, right? And continue spreading that message that I think people need to hear. And I think that there are probably going to be ways to organize, you know, from a grassroots level to change some of those, like, algorithm systems, or to regulate social media a little bit more, to, like, help with the, you know, capitalistic tendencies that these platforms are really fueling the fire with, you know? You were talking about social dilemma. And one of the things that came up for me, and I had a conversation with my dad about this the other day before the election. He and I tend to be pretty different on the political spectrum. And I was saying, like, you need to watch this documentary, because what it's talking about really makes sense for why you can't absolutely believe what you have no idea how I could possibly be as liberal as I am. And I can't possibly understand how you can watch the news and have these ideals that are more conservative leaning. And that is exactly what it's designed to do. It's designed to divide. And so to me, it almost feels like a justice issue, right? You're like, you're doing social justice by saying, no, we're telling a different story. Like, this is not, I think about, like, the Easter story and the resurrection too, right? Like, death is not the final answer. And so when we get to turn around as people of faith and say, no, this message of division and hatred is not the end of the story, that's not the final answer that we're giving. And instead, in our small ways or in our bigger ways, whenever that, you know, takes shape, when we get to say we're doing things differently, and this is just, you know, this is the message, and the message has stayed consistent for thousands of years now, and it's going to continue to stay consistent. And, like, we can pump out as much good news as we can pump out, and everything else can kind of do its thing. And I guess like that feels like a very not wishy-washy, but it just feels like kind of a happy-go-lucky kind of response, but that's all I can do. You know, I don't have control over the corporations that are trying to profit off of fake news or whatever, or division. But you look at some of the political systems that were in place in Jesus's time, and like, what does he do? He continues to heal the sick. He continues to, you know, eat with the sinners. He continues to help people who society hates. And that's really all I have control over in my ministry.
So then as a final question, Bailey, when you just feel inspired and the Spirit of God is moving and speaking to you and giving you visions for the future, what's a hallmark maybe of the church that you see as possible that you're using these platforms and reaching toward? I would love to finish on that note.
My call, I've been able to nail my call story down after years and years, and as it shifts and change, and you know, you're required to tell it to different people. But my call has always been a call of risk. And if I'm not a little bit afraid of what I'm about to do or what I'm about to say or who I'm about to share a message with, I don't feel like I'm doing justice to my call. And so as I think about, you know, what church can look like, I hope that it's a church that takes risks and that learns to innovate and learns to embrace the growing pains that growth brings with it always. You know, I mean, there's never going to be growth without change, and change is uncomfortable, especially for those of us in the church. And so I hope that the future of the church looks like really like fleshing out these conversations like you and I are having, and naming the fears of doing something different and feeling like, oh, maybe people won't hear this message, or maybe this isn't important to people, but still like believing in our gut that it is a message that's still relevant and still worth hearing no matter how people hear it.
I love it. I think that's a great note to end on. So Reverend Bailey Bronner, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing your insight and your experience and your call, and thanks for preaching the gospel in a new medium and reaching new people that otherwise wouldn't have heard it.
Thank you. Back at you.
That's all for this episode of the Broken Middle Podcast. Thanks for taking a step out into the open with us today. And see you back here next time.